Welcome, everybody, to the Class Act Podcast. It is about 3 a.m. on Sunday, November 25th. You might be wondering what I'm doing up this late, and the truth is that I have not slept since 9/11. I was 7 years old, and I remember saying to myself, as long as I'm awake, I am never going to let another terrorist attack happen to this country. And so far, since 9/11, there has not been another terrorist attack in this country like 9/11, and it's basically because I haven't fallen asleep. Now, in order to stay awake, I've had a lot of coffee, I've taken a lot of 5-hour energies, I've gone to a lot of extreme measures to make sure I don't fall asleep to protect this country. But just as a failsafe, I also, a few days ago, sent out a tweet telling terrorists all over the world to stop it. And I really think that that just pushed the message home even more. The big news on Twitter tonight was regarding Dwight Howard, who was... Now, at this point, it's just allegations. Nothing has been definitively proven for certain yet. But it does not look good for Dwight Howard. I don't know how to say this without getting in trouble, but a transsexual has come forward to... basically expose Dwight Howard for being abusive and for threatening her and for being in a relationship with her. And Twitter, and I know that probably doesn't sum it up. I'm sure there's more eloquent ways to sum it up, but you know, I'm trying my best here, guys. And boy, did Twitter let Dwight Howard have it. I mean, good God, I have not seen anybody get destroyed with this amount of ferocity like Dwight is getting destroyed. I mean, to be honest with you, it's really been all downhill for Dwight Howard ever since that awkward press conference that he did with Stan Van Gundy when he was with the Magic. I mean, Jesus, like, this guy went from being known as, you know, one of the 3 or 4 best players, one of the most likable players in basketball, to being known as a guy who basically is abusive and is a cornball and is a team cancer. And it's a tough scene. It's a really tough scene. And there's no other way to put it. I mean, it's a tough scene all around. And, you know, but he's really, like I said before, Dwight's really taken to pounding. He's really bottomed out. I think he's just going to have to, you know, just persevere, and he's going to have to make a comeback if he wants to redeem himself. But I don't know how he's going to redeem himself from this. This is pretty bad. I mean, if he wants to have sex with transsexuals or transvestites, I mean, hey, that it's a free country. He's free to do what he wants to do. That's none of my business. But when you get accused of threatening somebody's, you know, livelihood, or you get accused of beating the shit out of people physically, that's when it really gets serious. And, you know, nobody hates domestic abuse more than I do. Absolutely nobody. In fact, it's almost disgraceful. It's almost insulting that I have not gotten an award for how much I hate domestic abuse. I just want to put that out there. Absolutely nobody hates domestic abuse more than I do. One of my favorite pastimes, and I did it earlier on this date, is impersonating reporters. And I've been doing this for years on Twitter. And this Dwight Howard situation was the perfect opportunity to do that. And literally every single time I do this, where I impersonate a reporter, I have a knack and I have a talent for just getting people to bite on it. And no matter what I say, it always seems to get 2 or 3 verified accounts to fall for it. And that's what happened tonight. And I don't get it. I really don't understand how you fall for it, because it literally takes less than half a second to check the handle. And that just makes it even more hilarious. And I'm just bragging right now, so I don't really mean to toot my own horn, but I thought that was pretty funny. Oh, and yeah, and back to the Dwight Howard thing. I always thought it was weird how Dwight Howard seemed to get away with inviting, like, 15-year-old girls into his hotel room. Like, this was about 4 years ago, and there was a report of him inviting 15-year-old girls into his hotel room back when he was still with the Rockets. And it just kind of went away for some reason, and nobody really talked about it. And that was just, that got brought up again this year. Not this year, but tonight, with all the recent discoveries that Dwight's been doing on the down low. Let's see here. Oh, God. I'm sorry, guys, if I sound a little bit tired. It's been a rough day. My cousin Jeff found out that he injected marijuana into his ass, and he overdosed. He went immediately into cardiac arrest, and he died. That's my 15th cousin that I've lost this month to a marijuana overdose. So if you know somebody who is addicted to marijuana, please do not be shy. Confront them about it and send them to a home or rehab center to get help before it's too late, because marijuana kills at least 60 million people every year in this country, and even more overseas. So please, I'm just that's a PSA, just getting that out there for everybody. Since it is Sunday, let's talk about some of the games that are coming up later today, which by the time this episode is released will probably have already happened. Who gives a shit? Who knows? The most noteworthy game, in my opinion, is the Patriots versus the Jets, because somehow Tom Brady, who is 41 years old, is going to have to beat Josh McCown, who is a future Hall of Famer. A lot of people say that Josh McCown is the best quarterback of all time, and it's hard to disagree because he's never lost a Super Bowl. Tom Brady's lost three. But if Tom Brady is somehow able to win tomorrow's game against Josh McCown, it will be the greatest accomplishment in North American sports history. I mean, it'll make Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier look like child's play. It really will. As opposed to, we got, as for primetime games, since, excuse me, since this week was Thanksgiving, a couple teams already played. So the primetime game for this week, Sunday night, is Green Bay, Minnesota, which should be a good game, I guess. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still the worst quarterback in the league. He has not won a Super Bowl, hasn't even been to a Super Bowl in, it's going on 8 years now, which is disgusting. Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback in the NFC North. Mitch Trubisky is a close second. Then third, you probably have to go with Matthew Stafford. And then fourth, you got DeShone Kizer. And then fifth, you got Aaron Rodgers. So that should be a good game. I'm going to pick the Vikings are going to win 31 to 20 because Aaron Rodgers won't motivate his teammates enough to get the win. And for Monday night, it's a real doozy, especially after last week's classic game between the Chiefs and Rams. We got Tennessee at Houston. So you got Marcus Mariota against Deshaun Watson. I mean, this doesn't get any better than this, folks. It really doesn't. I expect a high-scoring game. I think the final will be 17 to 14. Since it's almost December, this is around the time every year where the NFL MVP debate starts to get really heated. And this year, the top two contenders are Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes. And right now, it looks like Drew Brees is going to win his first MVP, which Saints fans will have no hesitation to tell you that Drew Brees has never won an MVP before, and he deserves this. And it's hard to disagree with him. He's putting up amazing numbers. And he plays for the New Orleans Saints, and a lot of people forget that Hurricane Katrina happened to New Orleans before Drew Brees got there. Hurricane Katrina was very bad. I am on record as saying that Hurricane Katrina was very bad. I am 100% anti-Hurricane Katrina. I'm pretty disappointed to have not received an award for how much I hate Hurricane Katrina, but that's beside the point right now. Drew Brees, he deserves MVP right now, but there are still, five or six games left to play. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, the story was on Monday night, he threw six touchdown passes and almost threw 500 yards, but he also had three interceptions and he also had a couple fumbles. And, people were saying that he was the biggest reason why the Chiefs lost, even though, I think a guy who throws for six touchdowns and leads his offense to 44 points isn't the reason why his team lost the game. But, people are very, very stupid, and that was what they were arguing. And I wish I could smack them in their fucking heads because they're so fucking stupid and I fucking hate them and I want to kill them. Excuse me. Folks, I'm just going to be honest. I don't really have a lot of topics because I'm a fucking idiot, so I'm just going to answer some more questions from fans. Okay, it's my decision. That's what we're going to go with. Okay, the first question is, why do you think the defense in Jordan's era was worse than LeBron's era when Jordan dropped 50 at 38 years of age, 2 years before LeBron was drafted? You know what? I'm sick of these fucking idiots asking these type of fucking questions. You know why? Because it's just common fucking sense, okay? In every single sport, in every single thing in life, besides the NBA, for some dumb reason, people are able to accept that athletes and things evolve as time goes on. But in the NBA, there's this weird little subset that refuses to admit that as time goes on, athletes and players get better. First of all, MJ didn't average 50 points at age 38, okay? He scored 51 points in one game, okay? You know who else has scored 50 points in a game? Corey Brewer, Mo Williams, Tony Delk, okay? These guys suck. So one game doesn't mean anything. MJ was obviously a great player, but he put up an inefficient 20 points a game with the Wizards. He couldn't make the playoffs in either of his 2 seasons with the Wizards in a horribly weak East, okay? And the reason why defense in Jordan's era was worse is because the athletes were worse, because the defenses weren't as sophisticated. A lot of people are saying that, oh, well, defense in the NBA sucks nowadays. Look at all the points being put up. And if you say that, that proves you're just an idiot, because the increased points is related to the increased pace, which is due to the offensive rebounding rule and the fact that teams are shooting more threes because players are better shooters and they have more skills. You go back and you watch a game from the 80s and 90s, it's a bunch of farmers just standing around on the court taking contested shots because they have no fucking skills. Okay, and I'm talking about on average. You obviously have your outliers in every single era, but I'm sick of fucking people trying to discredit LeBron and trying to prop up MJ because it doesn't make any sense. It's like saying a typewriter is better than a MacBook Pro. End of question. Next question, are the Pistons a playoff team? Who gives a fuck? Nobody gives a shit about the Pistons. They're irrelevant. Next question, Giannis or AD, Anthony Davis? Who is the better player? I think Anthony Davis is the better player, but the thing about Anthony Davis, and I've tweeted about this before, is that he is probably the most fragile athlete I've ever seen that doesn't get season-ending injuries. It's really weird. And I tweeted about this like before the season began. I said, every 5 games, Anthony Davis has to either miss the game or he has to leave the game to go to the locker room with an injury. And so far this year, he's already left games in action like 4 times to go to the locker room. Either this guy's bones are made out of styrofoam or he has the lowest pain threshold of any human being on the planet. But despite that, I think Anthony Davis has shown that in the playoffs, he can put up big numbers. Giannis is still obviously. It's still obviously great too. It's a close, but I think Anthony Davis is a better player. But I don't know exactly how much Anthony Davis, his skill set fits into today's game. And I tweeted that also about DeAndre Ayton. I said, I don't understand why the Suns took a big man who isn't a great outside shooter, who doesn't make a lot of threes. I don't know why, and isn't even known for his defense. I don't understand why they took him first overall. I mean, in today's NBA, a big man who, post up down low on the post, no offense to Dwight Howard, post up down low and, get you a lot of dunks and stuff. Like DeAndre Ayton is a great player and he's going to be a good player, but that doesn't really translate to wins in today's NBA, in my opinion. In today's NBA, you have to have a lot of shooters, you have to have a lot of space, you have to have a lot of pace, and rim protectors, like, again, no offense to Dwight Howard. Rim protectors and big men are less important in today's NBA than ever before because, unlike in the 80s and 90s, when you had UPS drivers driving into the lane and big men had to block their shots, there's a lot more threes being taken. So, rim protection for a big man isn't as important. And it just doesn't, that's just my opinion of it. But I know I got off track, but you know what? It's my podcast and I'll do whatever the fuck I want. Next question. What's your opinion on Kevin Durant potentially joining LeBron in LA next year? I'm mixed feelings about it because on one hand, well, you know what? Actually, no, I don't have mixed feelings about it. I want KD, part of me wants KD to join because it means LeBron will win more rings and it'd make his chance to win more rings easier, and it would mean the Warriors super team would break up. But at the same time, it would kind of make it feel a little bit cheap for LeBron to team up with KD. But you know what? It doesn't really matter in the end, because the only thing that matters is that these guys had fun and they tried their best. And if they did that, then they can live with that, and I can live with that too. Next question: who is the hardest working adult actress? To be honest, I can't answer this question because I've never watched porn before in my entire life, and I have no desire to watch porn in my entire life. The only person that I need to touch me is Jesus Christ, and he has certainly touched me with everything that he can, and I feel fulfilled, and I don't really feel the need to hank my hog to a bunch of people with serious daddy issues. I don't feel the need to hank my hog to them fornicating on camera. And this also goes back to something I saw the other day. I mean, if you go on a porn star's Twitter page, it's a tough scene. It really is, and it's one of those things where it makes me pray that I never have a daughter, because you go on these porn stars' Twitter pages and they have nothing but pics of them getting fucked in the ass or being rammed in the vagina with these gigantic cocks and dildos, and it's just a mess, and it's just, oh my God, like, why would you ever want to bring a daughter into this world? Because if you have a daughter and she's really pretty, then every single day when she gets older, like, you just know that a bunch of guys are gonna be wanting to fuck her at every chance. So every single night she would go out with her friends, you'd just be a nervous wreck. Whereas, like, if you have a son, you're like, okay, son, go ahead, do what you want. You can fuck every girl you want. But as a daughter, it's like, I'm not gonna let my daughter be a whore. And so I pray that I never have a daughter. And I'm quite honestly, if I do have a daughter, then I'm probably just gonna keep her locked up in her room until she's 18, where by law she's able to go on her own. But that's the other problem, is that you can raise a woman right for the first 18 years of her life, and then she'll go off to college and she'll meet some hoe friends, and then she'll turn into a hoe while she's away at college. Because when I was in college, I had sex with like 10 girls, and I just think, thinking back at it now, it's like, God, those girls' parents, like, they thought their girl was going to college to get a nice education, to get to work hard for a successful future. But no, she was getting some Barry McCock in her, if you know what I mean. Okay, last question here. What is the toughest scene you've encountered? Well, I'm trying to think here. I've seen a lot of tough scenes before. I think one of the worst tough scenes that I've ever had to come across was, the original tough scene was Two Girls, One Cup. That came out like 10, 11 years ago when I was like in 6th or 7th grade. I remember the first time I saw that. That was pretty tough. But compared to some of the shit that you see nowadays on Twitter, it's like child's play. Like, just the other day on Thanksgiving, there was a video of a carp sucking a guy's dick that showed up on the timeline. So, and the sad part is that I wasn't completely surprised by it, because Twitter is just like the Wild West. I've become so desensitized over my years on the internet to a lot of extreme things. I think one video that I still have trouble watching and I still can't watch was, it was a video of like a guy in Mexico or somewhere like in Central America. The drug cartel, like, found him, and I forget the exact story, but they literally like flayed him alive and they were chopping off his skin. You could see like his heart beating and stuff, and it was just, I had a hard time watching that, but it was a tough scene. And there's also another clip I saw once of, it was a porn clip that showed up on my timeline. I was not watching porn again. I've never watched porn before in my life, but it was a porn clip that showed up on my timeline of a guy sticking his entire arm into a woman's vagina and basically like pumping his fist up into her stomach, and her stomach like would protrude up with the fist. And it was very tough. It was a tough scene. And the final tough scene, I'd probably say, is one where there's a woman getting Fruit Loops eaten out of her asshole. And that was another tough scene. But, and it really made me lose faith in God. Somehow I've been able to keep my faith despite this. But I know that was a pretty long answer. Oh, and before I forget, I want to talk about, Steph Curry was involved in a car accident. He was unarmed. Not unarmed, he was unharmed. Although he might have been armed, I don't know. I mean, it's the Second Amendment. Donald Trump is fighting for our rights as Americans to bear arms, protect ourselves from the government. So maybe Steph Curry was armed. Who knows? It's not my business. But I just want to congratulate Steph Curry on officially having more car accidents than Finals MVPs. It's a great honor, and I'd be remiss if I didn't bring that up. So again, congratulations, Steph. You really earned it. I just think it's funny that I have 67,000 followers on Twitter, and yet I have no wife. I just think that's a little bit funny. I just I'm not mad about it. I'm not sad about it. Maybe I'm a little sad about it, but. I think that I have all these fake friends, and I'm not gonna lie, it really disturbs me that I have not gotten a wife yet. I thought that my Twitter fame would really help me out with women, but it hasn't, and I'm just being honest here and being forthright with all of you. I really need to meet a woman, and I really need to get a wife because I'm not very happy right now. But I just wanted to come forward about that. But let's not talk about this. You know what? I'm so distraught right now. I'm just going to end the episode right now. Just stay classy, guys. Stay classy.